Chapter 16, Victims of Extended Hallucinations. It was not her father at the door. It was Tootie. Tootie Tickham, said Flora. Tootie stepped through the door and into the living room, and then she stopped. Her eyes widened. What in the world, she said. Flora didn't even bother turning around. She knew what Tootie was looking at. It was the little shepherdess, said Flora, the guardian of lost sheep and light. Or something. She belongs to my mother. Right? Said Tootie. She shook her head. Well, never mind about the lamp. She took another step closer to Flora. Where's the squirrel? She whispered. Upstairs, Flora whispered back. I've come to check to see if what I think happened yesterday actually happened, or if I'm the victim of an extended hallucination. Flora looked Tootie in the eye. She said, Ulysses can type. Who can type? Said Tootie. The squirrel. He's a superhero. Tootie said, for heaven's sake, what kind of superhero types? It was a good and also slightly disturbing point. How exactly was a typing squirrel going to fight villains and change the world? George, shouted Flora's mother. It's not Pop, Flora shouted back. It's Mrs. Tickham. There was a silence from the kitchen. And then Flora's mother came into the living room with a big, fake, adult smile plastered on her face. Mrs. Tickham, she said, what a lovely surprise. And what can we do for you? Tootie smiled a big, fake, adult smile back. Oh, she said, I just came to pay Flora a visit. Who? Flora, said Tootie, your daughter. Really? Said Flora's mother. You came to see Flora? I'll be right back, said Flora. She ran out of the living room and through the dining room. What a truly extraordinary lamp, she heard Tootie say. Oh, do you like it? Said Flora's mother. Ha, thought Flora. And then she was out of the dining room and into the kitchen. She ripped the paper out of the typewriter and looked down at the words. They were absolutely not a hallucination. Holy gambuga, said Flora. A loud scream echoed through the house. Flora took the paper and shoved it down the front of her pajamas and ran back into the living room. Ulysses was sitting on top of Marianne, or rather, he was trying to sit on top of Marianne. His feet were scrambling to gain purchase on the little shepherdess's pink flowered lampshade. He paused in his efforts and looked at Flora in an apologetic and hopeful way. And then he returned to wobbling back and forth. Oh, my goodness, said Tootie. How did it get here? Shouted Flora's mother. It just came flying down the stairs. Yes, said Tootie. She gave Flora a meaningful look. Flying? It absolutely scared the living daylights out of me and Mrs. Tickham. We screamed. We did, said Tootie. We screamed. There's just no end to the excitement. If that squirrel breaks my lamp, I don't know what I'll do. Marianne is very precious to me. Marianne, said Tootie. I'll just get him off the lamp, okay, said Flora. She put out a hand. Don't touch it, screamed her mother. It's a disease. The doorbell, as if it were echoing Flora's mother's advice, buzzed its terrible warning buzz. Flora and her mother and Tootie all turned. A small voice called out. The voice said, Great Aunt Tootie? Chapter 17. I Smell Squirrel. There was a boy at the door. He was short and his hair was so blonde that it looked almost white. His eyes were hidden behind enormous dark glasses. In addition to terrible things can happen to you, the Illuminated Adventures of the Amazing Incandesto regularly featured a second bonus comic entitled The Criminal Element is Among Us. The Criminal Element gave very specific pointers on how to never, ever be fooled by a criminal, and one of the oft-repeated dictums of the Criminal Element was the best way to get to know a person was to look him or her directly in the eye. Flora tried not to look the boy in the eye, but all she saw was a reflection of herself in his dark glasses. She looked short and uncertain, like an accordion in pajamas. "William," said Tootie, "I told you to stay put." "I heard screaming," said the boy. His voice was high and thin. "I was concerned. I came as fast as I could. Unfortunately, on the way over here, I had a small but extremely violent encounter with some variety of shrub. And now I'm bleeding. I think I'm bleeding. I'm pretty sure I smell blood. But no one should be concerned. Please don't overreact." "This," said Tootie, "is my nephew." "Great nephew," said the boy. "And I hope I don't need stitches. Do you think I need stitches?" "His name is William," said Tootie. "William Spiver, actually," said Tootie's nephew. "I prefer to be called William Spiver. It distinguishes me from the municipality of Williams in the world." He smiled. "It's a pleasure to meet you, whoever you are. I would shake your hand, but as I said, I think I'm bleeding. Also, I'm blind." "You are not blind," said Tootie. "I am suffering from a temporary blindness induced by trauma," said William Spiver. "Temporary blindness induced by trauma." The words sent a chill down Flora's spine. Seemingly, there was no end to the things that could go wrong with human beings. Why hadn't terrible things can happen to you done an issue on temporary blindness induced by trauma? Or, for that matter, one on extended hallucinations? I am temporarily blind," said William Spiver again. "How unfortunate," said Flora's mother. "He's not blind," said Tootie, "but as of this morning, he is staying with me for the summer. Imagine my surprise and excitement. I have nowhere else to go, Great Aunt Tootie," said William Spiver. "You know that. I am at the mercy of the winds of fate." "Oh," said Flora's mother. She clapped her hands. "How wonderful! A little friend for Flora." "I don't need a little friend," said Flora. "Of course you do," said her mother. She turned to Tootie. "Flora is very lonely. She spends far too much time reading comics. I've tried to break her of the habit, but I'm very busy with my novel writing, and she is alone a lot. I'm worried it has made her strange." "I am not strange," said Flora. This seemed like a safe statement to make when someone as truly profoundly strange as William Spiver was standing beside her. "I would be happy to be your friend," said William Spiver. "Honored," he bowed. "How lovely," said Flora's mother. "Yes," said Flora, "how lovely." "The blind," said William Spiver, "even the temporarily blind, have an excellent sense of smell." "Oh, for heaven's sake," said Tootie, "here we go. I have to tell you that I smell something out of the ordinary, something that is not usually smelled within the confines of the human domestic sphere," said William Spiver. He cleared his throat. "I smell squirrel." Squirrel, confronted with this spectacle of William Spiver, they had forgotten about Ulysses. Flora and her mother and Tootie all turned and looked at Ulysses. He was still on top of Marianne. He had managed to balance himself on the small blue and green globe that was at the center of the lampshade. "That squirrel," said Flora's mother. "He's rapid, diseased. He's got to go." Chapter 18. A Scientific Adventure. "Why don't you let me take the squirrel?" Tootie said to Flora's mother. "I'll just return him to the wild." "If you can call the backyard the wild," said William Spiver. "Hush up, William," said Tootie. She reached out for Ulysses. "Don't touch it," shrieked Flora's mother. "Not without gloves. It has some sort of disease." "If you could just get me some gloves then," said Tootie, "I'll pluck the squirrel off the lampshade and whisk him out of here and set him free. The kids can come along. It will be a scientific adventure." "It doesn't sound very scientific to me," said William Spiver. "Well," said Flora's mother, "I don't know. Flora Bell's father is coming to pick her up for their Saturday visit. He'll be here any minute now, and she's still in her pajamas." "Flora Bell?" said William Spiver. "What a lovely, melodious name. "It will all just take a minute," said Tootie in a low, soothing voice. "The kids can get to know each other." "I'll get you some gloves," said Flora's mother. And so now here they were walking over to Tootie's, getting to know each other or something. Tootie had on a pair of dishwashing gloves that went all the way up to her elbows. The gloves were bright pink and they glowed in a cheery, radioactive sort of way. In Tootie's gloved hands was Ulysses. Behind Tootie was Flora. And next to Flora was William Spiver. His left hand rested on her shoulder. "Do you mind, Flora Bell?" he had said. "Would it trouble you terribly if I put my hand on your shoulder and allowed you to guide me back to Great Aunt Tootie's house? The world is a treacherous place when you can't see." Flora didn't bother pointing out to him that the world was a treacherous place when you could see. And speaking of treacherousness, things were not in any way progressing as Flora had planned. She had envisioned Ulysses fighting crime, criminals, villainy, darkness, treachery. She had imagined him flying. Holy bambunga. Through the world with her, Flora Buckman was at his side. Instead, here she was leading a temporarily blind boy through her own backyard. It was anticlimactic, to say the least. "Have you released the squirrel yet, Great Aunt Tootie?" "No," said Tootie, "I have not." "Why do I sense that there is more going on here than meets the eye?" said William Spiver. "Just keep quiet until we get to the house, William," said Tootie. "Can you do that? Keep quiet for a minute?" "Of course I can," said William Spiver. He sighed. "I'm an old pro at keeping quiet." Flora doubted very much that this was true. William Spiver squeezed her shoulder. "May I inquire how old you are, Flora Bell?" "Don't squeeze my shoulder. I'm 10. "I'm 11 years old," said William Spiver. "Which surprises me, I must say. I feel much, much older than 11. Also, I know for a fact that I am smaller than your average 11-year-old. It may even be that I'm shrinking. Excessive trauma can retard growth. I'm not certain, however, if it can cause actual shrinkage." "What was the traumatic event that turned you blind?" said Flora. "I'd prefer not to discuss that right now. I don't want to alarm you." "It's not possible to alarm me," said Flora. "I'm a cynic. Nothing in human nature surprises a cynic." "So you say," said William Spiver. The world cryptic popped into Flora's head. It was preceded by the word unnecessarily. "Unnecessarily cryptic," said Flora out loud. "I beg your pardon," said William Spiver. But then they were at Tootie's house. They were walking through her backyard and into her kitchen, which smelled like bacon and lemons. Tootie put Ulysses down on the table. "I don't understand," said William Spiver. "We're back at your house, but I can still smell the squirrel." Flora took the paper out of her pajamas and she handed it to Tootie. She felt like a spy, a successful spy, a triumphant spy, a spy in pajamas. "What's this?" said Tootie. "It's proof that you aren't the victim of an extended hallucination," said Flora. Tootie held the paper with both hands. She stared at it. "Squirtle," she said. "Squirtle?" said William Spiver. "Keep reading," said Flora. "Squirtle," said Tootie. "I am Ulysses, born anew." "See?" said Flora. "What does that prove?" said William Spiver. "What does it even mean?" "The squirrel's name is Ulysses," said Tootie. "Wait a minute," said William Spiver. "Are you positioning that the squirrel typed those words?" "Positing? Positing? Yes," said Flora. "That's exactly what I'm positing." "The hallucination extends," said Tootie. "What hallucination?" says William Spiver. "The squirrel is a superhero hallucination," said Tootie. "Surely you jest," said William Spiver. Ulysses sat up on his hind legs. He looked at William Spiver and then at Tootie, and finally he turned his eyes to Flora. He raised his eyebrows and gave her a look full of questions, full of hope. Flora felt a pang of doubt. He was, after all, just a squirrel. She had no proof that he was a superhero. What if there was some other explanation for those words? Also, there was Tootie's disturbing point to consider. What kind of superhero types? And then she thought about Alfred, who everyone doubted him, how no one except the parakeet Dolores knew that he was incandesto, and how no one except Dolores truly believed in him. Was it Flora's job to believe in Ulysses? And what did it make her? A parakeet? Let me get this straight, said William Spiver. You, a self-professed cynic, are positing that the squirrel is a superhero. The words "do not hope" instead of "observe" fitted through Flora's brain. She took a deep breath. She brushed the phrase away. The squirrel typed those words, she said. Well, said William Spiver, whose hand was still on Flora's shoulder, why didn't he move his hand? Let's just approach this scientifically. We'll put this squirrel in front of Great Aunt Tootie's computer, and we'll ask him to type again. Chapter 19. The Inadvertent. He sat in front of the machine. It was different from Flora's mother's typewriter. There was a blank screen instead of paper, and the whole contraption glowed, emitting a warm and not entirely friendly smell. The keyboard was familiar, though. Each of the letters was there, each of them in the same place. Flora and Tootie stood behind him, and William Spiver, the boy with dark glasses, stood behind him, too. This was an important moment. Ulysses understood that very well. Everything depended on him typing something. He had to do it for Flora. His whiskers trembled. He could feel them trembling. He could even see them trembling. What could he do? He turned and stiffed his tail. There was nothing he could do except be himself, to try to make the letters on the keyboard speak the truth of his heart, to work to make them reveal the essence of the squirrel he was. But what was the truth? And what kind of squirrel was he? He looked around the room. There was a tall window, and outside the window was the green, green world and the blue sky. Inside, there were shelves and shelves of books, and on the wall above the keyboard was a picture of a man and a woman floating over a city. They were suspended in a golden light. The man was holding the woman, and she had one arm flung out in front of her as she were pointing the way home. Ulysses liked the woman's face. She reminded him of Flora. Looking at the painting made the squirrel feel warm inside, certain of something. Whoever had painted the picture loved the floating man and the floating woman. He loved the city they were floated above. He loved the golden light. Just as Ulysses loved the green world outside and the blue sky and Flora's round head, his whiskers stopped trembling. What's happening? Asked William Spiver. Nothing, said Flora. He's gone into some sort of trance, said Tootie. Shh, said Flora. Ulysses inched closer to the keyboard. It was beautiful to the squirrel to see a letter appear out of nowhere. Well, what is it? What's the letter? It's an I, William Spiver. But that proves nothing. Of course anyone can inadvertently hit an I. You don't have to be a superhero to type an I. Would you please hush, William? The squirrel typed. The people waited. Destiny bestirred itself. Chapter 20. What It Said. I love your round head, the brilliant green, the watching blue. These letters, this world, you. I am very, very hungry.